Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Fraser Performance Studios at WGBH Boston, this is a special holiday edition of Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. When NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, began its countdown to celebrate its 50th anniversary, the space agency made special contact with renowned storyteller Jay O'Callaghan and handed him this mission, should he choose to accept it, write a love letter to NASA. Well, enamored with space exploration, as many of us are, Jay was not only honored, but also game. He spent a year and a half studying astronomy and interviewing current and retired NASA personnel all across the country. And now Living on Earth is thrilled to present, for our winter storytelling special, Jay O'Callaghan and the broadcast performance of his love letter to NASA, Forged in the Stars. Welcome, Jay.
T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lift off. We have lift off. About 18 months ago, I was in a conference room, NASA headquarters, Washington, D.C. I was excited because I'd been commissioned to create this story, NASA's 50th anniversary, and Ed Hoffman, who runs a leadership program, said, "Your job is to write a love letter." Well, how do you write a love letter to an administration? But still, it was freeing. I flew off, Johnson Space Center, Houston, manned flight, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena, unmanned flight. And I wondered, will they be patient for these interviews? Scientists, astronauts, engineers. They were not only patient, they're in love with their work. They love to talk. I came home with 1,000 pages of interviews, emails, taking this course in astronomy, reading 30 books. But what's the story? Then I remembered one of the interviews at Johnson Space Center with interns. These are young people, college students who are at NASA college all the way through. This fellow, Cecil Shy Jr., he was a wiry young fellow. He said, "When I was a kid, I loved to make these toy cars with motors. I was good at it. When I was in high school, there was a career night." He said, "I went in and there was a model of a Mars rover. I said, I can do that. Why not?" And then Cecil said, "I think of kids all over the world going to sleep, looking at the stars, thinking, I want to go there." And Cecil says, "Why not?" And I love that. Why not? Why not make a love story? Everyone I interviewed said they loved working at NASA. I thought, I'll invent two characters, and they sprang to mind, Kate and Jack, in love, but something's gone wrong, and they will tell true stories of NASA. And so, my love letter to NASA is Forged in the Stars. The time is late October 2007. The place is Boston, Massachusetts. On a bright, windy Friday morning, a young woman, Kate DeCordova, was running down a sloping sidewalk. She had a red sock cap on, black hair streaming up behind. She was singing, "Here comes the sun." Checked her watch, 8:30. As long as she made the next trolley to Boston, she'd be on time for mechanical engineering. No one was late for mechanical engineering. As she ran, she smelled some of the salt air. It reminded her last night, she'd been putting some salt in the boiling spaghetti water. Her apartment mate, best friend, Cynthia Moss, was listening to Blind Willie Johnson singing Dark as the Night, and the phone had rung. Kate, it's Jack. She was shocked, delighted, Jack Carver. 6 months ago, last April, she had called their engagement off. Here he was on the phone. "Kate, something exciting has happened. Jack Carver. Son of a Maine lobsterman, Jack, big powerful guy, getting a PhD in astrophysics, MIT. But when he was nervous or excited, he stuttered. Kate, you know the MIT Sunday Science series. A Russian scientist can't make it. So my thesis advice, I thought you and I could do the program on NASA. It's his 50th. You know, it's our generation You've been an intern 4 times, Kate, there, and he's going to get the Globe. Jack, you don't have to talk me into it. This is great. When is it? It's Sunday, 3 weeks from now. I can't, Jack. I got the graduate record exams. That's Saturday. I'm sorry, Jack. I can't study and prepare a program. Sorry. As she ran this morning, the trolley passed her by. It would stop 20 yards ahead. She had to get the trolley, so she lengthened her stride. 10 yards from the trolley, a yellow maple leaf came down. She reached out, the wind took it up, and she took a chance. And she leapt way up and caught it. She sprinted, but the driver was closing the door. Someone said, "Wait!" Kate leapt onto the trolley. She got out her cell phone. She called Jack. "Jack, it's Kate. I've changed my mind. I'll do the program at MIT. "Great, good, great. What happened?" "I caught a leaf." "Never mind, we'll get Cynthia to come." "Don't get Cynthia, she'll cause trouble. She's still wearing the green wig. She wears it to earth science class." "Jack, listen, what am I supposed to do?" All right. "My thesis advisor saw the play you wrote. He said you come at a slant. You do 3 12-minute sections, men's space. I will finish with a lecture, 20 minutes, on men's space." "All right, Jack. Next 3 Thursdays, come to my apartment. 7 o'clock, we'll run things back and forth. Thanks." Then she thought of what Jack had said, that he would give a 20-minute lecture. One of the reasons she had cut off the engagement is because Jack had turned into a critical bore just around the time he got that tweed jacket. She hated that tweed jacket. She got busy emailing friends, professors, NASA colleagues, asked one question: "What do you remember most about NASA?" Thursday night came. Jack was coming up. 3 flights of stairs, an apartment, Jamaica plain. Kate was nervous in the kitchen because Jack could be so critical. "Oh, Jack, I'm in the kitchen." "Oh, how do you greet your former lover? Peck on the cheek, a hug?" Jack, there was Jack, this old windbreaker, and, oh, luckily he brought supper. There was a pizza box between them. "Oh, thank you, Jack. Thanks, sit down. We'll have the pizza later, Jack. I want to start right away." So imagine, Jack, I'm looking at the audience. I'm going to say to them, "I'm an engineering student, I'm going to get a PhD, and I hope to work for NASA. I grew up in Oklahoma. When I was 5 years old, my dad and I were standing under the stars. And my dad, usually a very practical man, he ran a hardware store, he said, 'Kate, the blackness and the stars are not just above us, Kate, they're all around us, Kate. The earth's just a ball moving in the blackness and the stars, they're all around us.' Well, I will never forget that moment. I'm going to tell you 3 true stories of NASA. This is the first story. In 1948, in a working-class neighborhood in Oklahoma City, a 5-year-old boy ran into the kitchen. 'Mom, I heard a voice coming from way up by the sun.' 'What did it say?' 'It said, I'm going to help people get to the moon.' She said, 'That's a vision, JC. She said, that's a vision because they were Cherokee, Osage. Their story was they had come from the sky to the earth. You'll have to work for it, J.C. His Cherokee name was J.C. High Eagle. His name in the white world, Jerry Elliott. Working for the vision meant being good at math and physics. He did very well in high school. 1961, 18 years old, J.C. High Eagle went to the University of Oklahoma. He was excited. Physics, mathematics. And he found that many of the students didn't want him there. 'What's the Indian kid doing here?' Many of the professors did not want him. 'Listen, you're a fine young man, and it's not your fault, but nature hands out gifts indiscriminately, and your people don't have the mental capacity to be engineers and scientists.' That hurt, but he had the vision. He stayed with it. He did well. 1966, he decided to go to graduate school, but there was no money. stepfather died. So this young man, J.C. Hi-Eagle, went down to the police station in Norman, Oklahoma, and said, I want to be a policeman. They gave him a test. He scored as high as anybody's ever scored. He became a full-time policeman and a deputy sheriff, which meant he could take two courses a semester. 10 in the morning was electrical engineering. He would wear his uniform to class with a loaded gun, but it was Oklahoma. One day his mother called. There's a telegram for you. Open it. The draft board, you have to report for the physical. He passed. Another telegram. Open it, Mom. You have to report to boot camp in 15 days. It means Vietnam. Call your grandfather. He called his grandfather, a wise old man at his wheat farm. Granddad, it's J.C. I'm going to boot camp in 15 days. They won't take you. No, I got the piece of paper. I don't believe in paper. They won't take you. Had a hard time getting the calf born last night. I had to hitch the tractor to get the calf. Granddad, I'm going to boot camp 15 days. They won't take you. Let me tell you about the calf. He went on and on about the calf. J.C. was furious. He said to his mother, he said, they won't take me. Went on and on about the calf. He's my dad. I'm with him. 15 days turned into 14, turned into 13, 12, 11, 10. 9 days, J.C. finished electrical engineering, coming down the corridor. Students were outside the dean's office in a line. And there was a sign, NASA interviewing today. NASA. He got in line, said to the student in front, what do you got? You got to have a NASA application, government application, and a resume, or he won't talk to you. He's got none of that. The line melts. He steps in his uniform. NASA man says, I got a plane to catch. What do you want, officer? I want to put people on the moon. He looks at this cop. I'm working my way through grad school. Write down your name, your address. Don't call us. We'll call you. The NASA man is gone. 7 days.
We'll be back with storyteller J.L. Callahan. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.